Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host Marcia Stone is not with us, unfortunately, today, but she definitely got to say hi to our guest and is a huge fan of Cherie Ashley. And Cherie is our guest today, and she is the founder and CEO of Bright Future Recovery in Avila Heights. She's been assisting families and individuals struggling with addiction for nearly a decade, and her passion is palpable. Like, I know her personally and professionally, and she's helped thousands seek recovery and freedom from addiction. Cherie's also an author of Balance, Life Lessons, and Success, and she shares her story in order to encourage, uplift, and support young women and new mothers fulfill their dreams and goals. She's an inspiration to many, an entrepreneur, and a specialist in the field of recovery. So welcome, Cherie, to the podcast program. I'm so excited to have you back on.
Thank you, Erica. I'm so glad to be here today, and yeah, I'm excited to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, you have so much going on. I mean, which is another great question I want to ask you about balance, but you have businesses, you have children, you have a family, you have all these creative endeavors you're up to. Can you share a little bit about your personal story and journey and how all this has come to be?
Yeah, definitely. So 10 years ago, I went through my own recovery and a treatment program, and so I firsthand have the experience of what I do now, you know, in my profession, which I never honestly saw myself working in this field. I really thought I would be working either in dentistry or the medical field, which, you know, now I do feel I am still along the lines of medical. And so, you know, going through my own struggles and seeking the help that I needed to overcome those struggles has really just driven me to work in this line of work and assist families and other individuals that, you know, are struggling with substance abuse or just really don't really know, you know, where to go or just need some resources or just even someone to talk to. It just really has been my passion, and I absolutely love what I do. And it's just over the years, as you know, you work in this field as well, it just seems to be getting worse and worse. And you know, the more resources that could be out there and educating young kids even, I feel is so important, and seeing what we can do to help schools, high schools, and just better educate our community of addiction and what's out there is just so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's so hard to get into these high schools and to get into these programs that, you know, prevention-wise, to help prevent, let's say, drug abuse or prevent kids, you know, or educating them, preventing them from trying something, because that's how the slippery slope starts, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. Do you find that, now you said you think it's getting worse, do you find that the fentanyl, you know, epidemic and kind of this issue of not, the drugs aren't really safe, no one knows what they're getting, everything is, you know, mixed up together. Do you feel like that this has created a shift in this addiction field?
It absolutely has. It absolutely has. And you know, we're seeing these kids come in 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're coming in just, oh, you know, I'm abusing, you know, Oxycontin or, you know, a different type of opiate. And we're finding that they're actually testing negative for opiates and positive for fentanyl.
Oh my gosh.
And they just have no idea. They have no idea. And it's heartbreaking because, you know, they don't know what they're using. They're trying these things from friends, and it's the lack of knowledge, and they're like, I had no idea, and it's just educating them. And, you know, we're also seeing, too, that treating fentanyl is so much different than treating opiates, and we're finding that it's actually even staying in one system much longer than the typical opiate is, which is typically, you know, 4 to 6 days. And we're seeing fentanyl lasting in one system up to 26, 27 days after their last use.
Crazy. That is unbelievable.
It is.
Well, that explains why it's so hard for people to stop or to, you know, I mean, I had a client who said once he did fentanyl, that was it. And actually, he passed away like 2 weeks ago from an overdose from fentanyl. And he always just said to me, like, it was like the devil, you know, like once he did it, that was it. Something has changed in him. And it's awful. I mean, being in this field is very difficult, but yeah.
It's another monster. It really is, you know, and my biggest thing is, again, education. Like, I just really want it to be out in the community for parents, for hospitals, for treatment centers. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I've been working in this field for, you know, almost 10 years, and I've had my treatment facilities for 7 years, and I've never seen anything like this. And so just constantly having to educate ourselves on a clinical level and on the medical side with our doctors and our nurses to see, like, okay, what do we need to be doing differently, because it's not being treated the same, and we need to be able to assist these individuals to get through this process so that they're not leaving because it's too hard to even bear, you know. The withdrawal symptoms and the cravings are just on a whole other level.
I'm right with you, arm in arm. If you want to get out there, we'll go try and raise some awareness, because it's
absolutely
it's affecting everybody. Absolutely. So I wanted to talk to you about your book. I mean, can you tell us what's going on with this new book that is coming out, or can you tell us a little bit about Balance, Life Lessons and Success?
Yeah, definitely. So I, you know, I've always been into writing. It's been kind of my outlet when, you know, I just have a lot of things going on in my head, or just ideas or stress, journaling, that kind of stuff. Since I was young, it was always definitely something I turned to. And so with Balance, I was getting a lot of questions. You know, I was new to the field, and I was young. You know, I was 24 when I started Bright Future Recovery. And, you know, at the time it was intimidating, because you're here with a lot of people who've worked in the field for many, many years, and their programs have been open for many years. And it's kind of like, hi, I'm Sheree, and I'm 24, and I have this treatment facility that I just opened. So, you know, I had a lot of drive at the time, because I knew that I was going to be able to help a lot of people. Like, I was determined to make it work. And I had a lot of questions, like, how did you get it started? You're so young. I had, you know, a baby who was just, you know, barely 1 year old. And so I was trying to, you know, raise him and figure this whole business thing out, as well as making sure we're following state guidelines and we're doing everything by the book. And so it was juggling a lot. And then, you know, a fresh marriage and just a lot going on at one time, and then followed with our second child and then our third. And so I have three small ones. And at the time that I was pregnant with my third, I was like, you know, this would be a really good time to just kind of focus on the pregnancy, take a little step back and get to writing. And so I did. And I really wanted to be able to answer everybody's questions, that there was now a resource of, you know, if you have goals and you have these dreams, you could fulfill them. There's this like stigma that if you're a mom, you have to just be a mom. And Erica, you're so inspiring too. It's like you do so much, and you have two small, beautiful children, and you can attest that it's a lot of work, and it's juggling and multitasking and putting many different hats on at one time.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just to let women know that you can totally do it. Whatever your avenue is, whatever it is that you want to fulfill, you can, but you do have to have balance, because when you do juggle so many things, it's easy to just want to and pull your hair out at the same time. And it's like, how do you balance that between work and being patient with your children and making time for your relationship with your spouse and friends and all of those things? So, you know, that's really the reason behind Balance. And I saw that it did help a lot of, you know, young women who had these goals to be able to kind of have a little bit of a guide of what it is that they can do, you know, to take those steps.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And it's so needed. There's so many people out there that, you know, you are a really unique and special individual. And I know this because I've seen you work, and I've seen you, you know, I've known you over the years and just watched you grow and watched you like flourish. And, you know, you take you take chances and you create action plans and you have courage, which is really, you know, inspiring and important to share, because so many of us, we can do that too, but so many of us have, you know, different narratives that have come up through different, you know, everyone has had a different childhood and everybody has different self-esteem issues. And, you know, so it's really great for people to hear it from you, because you've been through so much in your life as well. It's not like you were handed anything. You worked for everything and you created everything. So I just wanted to mention that.
You.
And yeah, of course, and applaud that. So it's
and
nice
along
to
those
hear.
Lines too, mm-hmm. It's, you know, it is courage and, you know, chances. That's like, I'm really big on that, because, you know, I've learned a lot of consequences as well in my journey. And it's like, I just couldn't get it at the beginning. I tried and it always seemed like I kept taking a step back. I take one step forward, another step back. And I'm like, I just don't understand like why these things keep happening. And, you know, I was told once by my grandmother, like, look, there's always going to be consequences to any negative choice in life. And that's something to think about prior to making any decision, is this going to have a negative consequence? And, you know, that really resonated with me, even though it sounds so simple. To me, it was like so far away from the reality in my mind, you know. And so I'm like, you know, maybe I really should consider that. Is this going to have a negative consequence? Possibly. So let's just not do that. You know, now, just because you have these negative consequences doesn't mean that you don't have a second chance. And,
right.
You know, if you do something that is, you know, you have these consequences and you make a change and you have a chance, you could turn it around. And that's really like what my journey, I feel, has been. It's constantly taking chances and a lot of trial and error. Like, if I could say that all this has been easy, I would totally be lying. And which makes it that much more rewarding is when it's like, oh my gosh, you feel like you're running into a wall and it seems too much and it's not going right and it's stressful, but you keep going, you keep pushing, and then the reward is at the end. And it's like, I'm glad that I went through all of that. And it's worth it. So if people feel out there that they've just lost all their chances, they've had too many consequences, there's no way out, it's like, no, there is. Like, I've seen people have the worst of the worst consequences from their addiction and be given a chance and take that chance and that opportunity to make change and completely turn it around. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
Right. And there, I always say that there's hope for everybody, no matter how many bad paths you've chosen, no matter how much shame you felt, like there's always a way out. And let's get right to then, you know, one of a solution to all that too is, I mean, this is why you're the founder and CEO of Bright Future Recovery in Avila Heights. And they are treatment facilities that do help individuals that are struggling with addiction. And you've been in this field for nearly over a decade. So can you tell us a little bit about your centers and, you know, the passion behind that and, you know, how people can obviously find you?
Yeah, definitely. So Bright Future Recovery, you know, I really wanted it to be a home setting. I really wanted everybody to walk through the door and feel like they are their own individual and they are a family member. They are not just another person and another person walking into treatment. You know, for me, I mean, I didn't have the luxury of detoxing in a cozy home setting. You know, unfortunately, my consequences were a little bit different and it was in a jail cell with other girls there. But at the time, that's what I needed for myself. And so I was scared. I didn't know what to expect. And I just wanted to make sure that anyone coming through our doors felt comfort the minute they walked through and they didn't need to feel scared. They knew that they were in a safe place to go through the process. So we've carried that through Bright Future Recovery, which is a detox only in Hollister in Central California, and carried that feel into our new program that is a smaller setting, but it's a longer term residential program in Avila Beach. And so that has a very cozy home feeling as well. And all the staff there, we're family. We really are. And our clients are our family. And that's how we treat everybody. And we see that that just makes a much different impact on the individual and the family while they're going through this process, whether it's their first time or their 10th time in treatment. They know where they're at is going to be safe and it's going to be comfortable and they are going to be heard. And so that's really the vision behind our approach. And, you know, as an interventionist, I strongly feel that there's no cookie cutter program or one program fits all at all. I mean, we really like to do a thorough assessment on the front end to ensure that we are an appropriate program for that individual. And if we're not, we are going to be the first to have many, many resources, whoever it is on our team that's answering that call, to be able to point them in the right direction, because we want to make sure that wherever they're going, they're getting the help that they need. You know, they may need a small setting or a larger setting, or, you know, they may need gender specific. So there's just so many, and we really take pride in that, because we really work with the individual and their loved ones from the beginning, before they even come to our program, to see, like, are we appropriate, or do we need to direct this loved one into the right direction?
That's wonderful. I know you, I mean, and that's what's so important, is the authenticity about, you know, you and everyone that works for you, is that, you know, you want to be real with people, and, you know, really be, you know, really help them and who they are as an individual, because everyone is so different. And, you know, I have families call me all the time, and I'm like, I have to get to know this individual that's suffering first before I could just send you to a treatment center, you know, because there's right. So many places. Yeah, absolutely. So, and then with your family, just to get to the fact you have three gorgeous kids and a husband and a big family, extended family. I mean, it feels like you're always kind of with everybody. How do you manage your time? I mean, like, for people that have time management issues, do you sit down and kind of plan your day out? Like, I do it in a planner, actually. I still use my phone, but I kind of plan my weeks, like what my sessions are and the podcast is, when this is, that is, and even kind of figure out, you know, when my hour is for self-care, which is like usually me walking or running, you know, something. So how do you do this?
You know, I actually do the same. Everything, I live by my calendar. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And literally my workouts are in my calendar, you know, 6:15, that's what you're doing. Nothing else comes at that time. Of course, right. You know, life happens. Mm-hmm. And if something pops up, you have to move things. But I, you know, the kids, if they're out of school, I want to make sure that I've blocked my schedule to ensure that that's kid time. That's, they're off for a week. We're going to be doing this, that, and the other, and really focusing, because it's important to put attention. What's the, you know, to me, it's like, what's the point of working so hard if you can't enjoy it with your loved ones? Family, of course, always comes first. And to me, that's the most important thing. And making sure that there's a system in place that gives you the ability to have that healthy balance for yourself, for your family, for your job, so that you don't get burnt out in any areas. And, you know, of course, that self-care is extremely important, and constantly educating myself. And if things do get hard, because life does happen, making sure I am taking care of my mental health. Like, over the years, I will say, you know, I thought that working in this field of helping others was my contribution to myself, to be able to help myself in certain areas, but it's not. Like, you have to be able to take care of your mental health just as much as you do your physical health. If anything, I feel it's probably more important, you know, and making sure that you're keeping that steady balance to be able to give to others, whether it's your children or your spouse, and have that calm temperament, and always being able to focus on your own individual needs. I'm really, really huge on that.
That's so important. Thank you for sharing that message. It is. I mean, it's really, and also being, I mean, I personally don't think about the fact that I'm sober day to day, but what I'm trying to express is, like, that, you know, also making that decision too under stress, that that's not an option, and that, you know, your health really, I think for people that get sober, it's really important that our health is our priority, and that the self-care is a priority, because if that falls, then we have a chance of falling, and that's going to affect the whole system. It's going to affect the whole unit, you know. So do you, just being sober such a long time, and for anyone listening out there that's kind of beginning this journey, do you feel like you don't think about it day to day? Do you feel like it's something that you you know, still have kind of thoughts around? Like, what, how does that factor into your life now?
Honestly, now today, I don't. If I do think about it, it's gratitude, pure gratitude. At the beginning, absolutely, it was a struggle. And I tell any individual who's just getting started when they're like, oh, I just, you know, need detox, I can go home, or I'm just going to do outpatient. Right. It's like, okay, your plan sounds great. But the reality is, I say a good year, you know, a good year of really giving your mind time and getting the tools. Because for me, it took about that of thinking about it every single day and having to talk myself into maintaining my sobriety every day I woke up. And today, I would say that's not the case. With time under, you know, my belt and gaining so much with sobriety and having so much gratitude around that, of everything that sobriety has given me and provided me because I was able to put the work in, is way too beautiful and powerful to ever even think about the person I was 11 years ago. Like, I couldn't even imagine giving up all these precious, wonderful blessings for a fix. You know what I mean?
Right, and right, right.
So
right.
I wake up just full of gratitude around that. And but everyone's different. And I always say, just focus on what it is that you need. If that means you need to hit a meeting morning, afternoon, and night to stay sober that day, you so go do that. Like, I support whatever it is that you need.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I just, you know, why I talk about that is because people ask all the time, well, you know, or they'll say to me just when they're getting sober, but like, how do you deal with that? Like, when this stressful thing happens, and I'm like, I've been through deaths, I've been through breakups, I've been through, you know, just life, horrible things up and down, right? But I've stayed sober all these 15 years, and it's not always super easy. And yeah, thoughts come and go, right? But the gratitude, if you continually, like, you know, I think, create an awareness around that or practice around that. I mean, for the first 3 years of my life, I every morning had a practice of gratitude. And I like jumped in so deep that every day I could be moved to tears, you know? Life has gone and I have so much going on every day that is not anymore like a daily practice. But maybe I did it so much for so long that, you know, it's kept me kind of on the, you know, kind of aware of that all the time. So it's different for everyone, like you said, but it is a great, great thing to, a great practice to create, whether you talk about or, you know, talk about it to yourself, go over it in your head, write it down, have a moment of meditation, anything to kind of reflect on your blessings is helpful.
Absolutely. And yeah, like you had touched on, you know, life is hard. You know, we will encounter different things that are harder to deal with than other things. And loss is a big one. You know, I recently experienced that last year. And, you know, it did take me doing a little bit more for myself than the typical gratitude and waking up and all of that. Like, I really had to go and focus on doing another, you know, intensive, a trauma intensive. And those types of things are hard. I remember going and thinking, gosh, it's been so long since I've checked somewhere in where I can't even have my cell phone, you know? And it's like, wow. But the clarity and the difference of going into it with a stronger mindset, knowing why I'm going to this, just to have better, you know, emotional balance and all of that, was so much different than walking into a treatment facility of, you know, just so much denial of like, I don't need to be here. And it's like, here's a cell phone. I don't care. I want to be here and I want to gain everything I can. And I'm like, gosh, I should have done this a long time ago. And so when I was saying earlier, the mental health piece of it is self-care, as much as it's like, okay, go out and get a massage, go for a walk. Those things are wonderful and I enjoy all of those things. But doing little retreats or intensives for yourself is so good, whether it's changing careers or moving out of state or whatever it may be, any sort of shift in your life that's much different, you can benefit from stuff like that. And I've become a lot more open-minded to doing those things on an annual basis for myself, just to ensure that I'm getting everything that I need to be able to handle those big life hits when they come.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you for going and doing that. And I want to hear more about the specific place and your experience there. But I think it is such a great, great thing to share with people that is part of our growth and our transformation, is to do things that maybe would feel uncomfortable, but you come out of it so much stronger. So That's mm-hmm. great.
Absolutely.
I'm happy you shared it with me because, yeah, I think when the season is right, those things are perfect, you know, and it's just, we're all going to go through different seasons, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So lastly, tell us a little bit about the readers before, you know, we run out of time, but about this new upcoming book, Sober is Sexy. Are you in the middle of writing it?
Yeah, I am in the middle of still writing that book. I have a lot of different projects going on at the moment, but that is on my list to finish sooner rather than later. And that book's really geared towards young adults that are fresh in recovery that feel sobriety is something to almost be ashamed of. I have a lot of clients who ask, you know, well, will I ever be able to drink again? Or what do I do if I go out with my friends and someone offers me a drink? And, you know, it's like, it's own your sobriety. You know, it's sexy. Like, there is nothing wrong with
being.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You're not the one sloppy falling around all over the place and waking up with a hangover, you know? I mean, it's a beautiful thing and rock it, you know, totally rock your story. I used to, and I get it because I felt so much shame around my addiction, so much shame. Like, I didn't want anybody to know. I'm like, mom, dad, don't tell nobody. But here I am, you know, a decade later, sharing it with everybody.
Loud and proud.
Yes, absolutely. It's a total difference, but I get it. You know, at the beginning, that's the first thing you think of is shame, guilt, and embarrassment. And it's okay to feel that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually good as well to feel that way, but to really be okay with owning it and open and share your story. And it just kind of the book goes through different chapters of my life as where, you know, from childhood all the way through recovery and as a professional, so that, you know, everybody can see.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Different, you know, walks of life. It doesn't just happen to a particular person or a particular crowd. It can happen to anybody. And just because you had a good childhood and you can't pinpoint something that went wrong, that doesn't mean that addiction can't hit you too. You know, that's really how I felt with myself. So just to share that with everybody. But yeah, I'm excited to finish it, and I'm excited for viewers to be able to have more resources and just be inspired for themselves. It's my biggest thing is I just want to be there for people and, you know, just be a listener as well as like, hey, you got this, you know, life's hard, but whatever it is you want to accomplish, you got this.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait. Can't wait to read it, and can't wait to have you back on so we can get it out there. Get out the word.
Definitely.
I just wanted to ask, can you tell our audience, where can people find you? Where can people find Bright Future Recovery in Avila Heights? And if anyone had any further questions, to get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So you could go to our website, which is www.bfrdetox.com, and there are links there for both the Hollister and Avila Beach location. You can also give us a call at 831-661-8942. If you need to personally reach me, you are more than welcome to email me at Cherie@bfrdetox.com.
Perfect. Cherie, thank you so much for coming on. It's always like an honor and a pleasure, and I'm just so excited always to catch up with you on life and everything else.
Yes, thank you, Erica. I always just love chatting with you, and I am also so extremely proud of you, and thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to talking with you and being here for anyone who needs us.
I know, me too, and we're going to do this again for sure. Our last question, just before we end, is usually the deep dive question, which is just answer as it comes to you. Cherie, what is your superpower?
Love.
Wow. You know, no one said that yet. That's awesome.
Amazing. Lot of it.
That's so great.
my husband says it's a blessing and a curse. Yeah.
That's
I got a lot of love to share. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Aw, that's a beautiful one. Okay. Thank you so much, Cherie, for joining us. And until next time, everybody, be well.